Well, the Prime Minister has doubled down in his backing for Christian Porter today, declaring him innocent under our law after the Attorney-General denied an historical rape allegation. It comes as debate rages about whether there should be an independent investigation into whether Mr. Porter is fit and proper to hold his office. This was Scott Morrison today.
He is an innocent man under our law. And to suggest that there should be some different treatment applied to him based on what have been allegations that the police have closed the matter on, I think that would be grossly inappropriate to take actions against him on that basis.
Mr. Morrison also dismissed a call by the former Solicitor General, Justin Gleeson, that the Prime Minister should take advice on the matter from the current Solicitor General, Stephen Donoghue. Well, Leah Moroney is the President of Australian Women Lawyers. We spoke earlier.
Well, when the first law officer is the subject of the allegations, the most logical step is then to go to the second highest law officer in the Solicitor General to receive an opinion about the process in dealing with those allegations.
So it's normal for a Solicitor General to give advice to a Prime Minister in a situation like this?
Absolutely, and it has happened on a number of occasions. One I can recall from the top of my head is the Peter Reith Telecard matter. The Solicitor General gave a comprehensive advice to the Prime Minister of the time in relation to ministerial responsibility then.
And Peter Reith indeed stood aside, even though he was exonerated, I
understand. Even though he was cleared. Mm. Yeah, even though he was cleared by the Solicitor General.
The Prime Minister has also effectively dismissed repeatedly the legitimacy of any kind of inquiry into this matter that is not done under the criminal law by the police. That's been his constant line. What do we know about the current Solicitor General's view about the legitimacy of other forms of commissions or inquiries? Not in this specific case, but as a matter of principle.
Yeah, well, certainly we don't know anything about this specific case, but we do know what he's written in the past. He specifically wrote that the legality of commissions into alleged criminal conduct is not open to question. So there's examples in relation to royal commissions having a mandate such as this, and inquiries and other inquiries having a mandate to look into what would otherwise be criminal conduct.
The specific issue, sticking point in this case regarding the Attorney General, is that the accuser is dead. Does that complicate having an independent inquiry?
The investigation would be a difficult process, but it would be up to somebody very senior, an independent investigator, perhaps a respected former High Court judge or someone similar to Vivian Tom, like in the Hayden investigation, to look at and balance and weigh the evidence that they have in front of them and to form an opinion based on that, looking at very strong standards of proof in relation to conduct.
And what about the standard of proof? Because if we're talking about any senior minister accused of something serious, regardless of denials, what would be the standard of proof and how would evidence be balanced?
So we've got the standard of proof on the balance of probabilities, but it's the Brigginshaw standard. And when there's a very serious allegation, that standard is very high. So we're not saying whether or not it definitely happened beyond reasonable doubt. That's a criminal process and we're not interested in that. Also, the accused person in this situation would have the right to freedom from self-incrimination, so they would have to provide evidence.
And so if we're talking about whether an individual is fit and proper to hold high office, would an investigation go beyond the immediate allegation that has given rise to an investigation? Would it go to other matters of the person's character or behaviour?
Certainly, it would be up to that independent investigator to determine the scope. It's particularly given the position that he holds. So he is held to a higher standard. It's a privilege to be a member of parliament. It's even more of a privilege to be a minister. It's particularly important for the Attorney General as the first law officer who appoints judicial members, who oversees law reform, to be beyond reproach.
Now, the legal profession is not unified in its view on this. We have heard a number of senior lawyers make different arguments to the one you're making in the Australian Women Lawyers Association. Is there room for doubt about whether an inquiry is valid in this case, do you think?
Certainly there is differences of opinion in the legal profession about inquiries generally, but there is definite and solid precedent for them dating back to the early days of our federation. So they have been used, and they've particularly been used by parliaments to ensure people's confidence in the parliamentary process and to ensure that the rest of the public at large have confidence in the parliament.
Leah Moroney, thank you very much for speaking with us today.
Thank you.
Leah Moroney is President of Australian Women Lawyers.